The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome back to the HBO Boys. Today we're talking about Ted Lasso, Season 3, Episode 11, entitled Mom City, in which Ted's mom comes. He's just like walking, having a really nice day, and then doubles back because Dottie, Dorothy, from Kansas, we're not there anymore. We're in London, and she's there, and he's like, what?
Howdy, Daddy!
What?
Beard said?
I don't know.
when he saw her in the locker room, he was like, "Hottie daddy!" She was like, "Weirdo beardo!"
Yes. I do love that they're just not afraid to give him catchphrases.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Okay. So I like this episode again.
Oh, I like this episode a lot. There's actually quite a bit to unpack here.
Yeah. Sammy said she doesn't like it anymore, the show.
Oh, okay. Well, bye.
She said no, because she said, I get it. She said the middle of the season was weird, which it was.
Yeah. It's
and
fine.
She feels like the middle of the season compromised the rest of it, where the serious stuff feels insincere, which then makes the comedic stuff feel insincere. I can understand that viewpoint. It's not mine exactly at this.
No.
I think I've a bit of easier clay to mold because
sure.
As the season reaches the end and, you know, the next episode is called like So Long Farewell. So we've been talking about whether or not it's the final season. They haven't said explicitly. It feels like a final season.
It feels like a final season. However, they're still not embracing the series finale of this.
It's called So Long Farewell, though.
I know, but that could just be So Long Farewell to Ted being on AFC.
I guess. Maybe.
We'll see, I suppose, when we see the episode next week.
Yeah, that's true. Season finale next week. 1 week off from both Succession and Yellow Jackets
because
it has a longer season, which just feels weird. I feel off kilter. I'll be fine, though, I bet. I'll pull through.
Yeah, it is weird saying episode 11 for this, too, with it being 12 episodes. It's just, it's weird. And last night was when I watched it. Episode was an hour and 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long one. I was like, dang, this thing is catching some length.
Yeah, they're making short films at this point as they get to the end of the season. I enjoyed it. I liked that Ted treated his mom like a lot of like a stereotypical way a person treats their mother, which is just like, I hate that you love me unconditionally. And when you talk to me, I'm going to treat you poorly.
Or not that I hate. It's just that you've lived with it for what he's in his late 40s, early 50s, right? Like you've lived with it so long and you're like, oh God, everyone else finds it endearing. But I'm just like, I know what this is.
Yeah. You're way over it.
Yeah.
And I was glad that Ted, who is sort of a happy-go-lucky, not think of my problems, say puns instead of really dive deep into my personal issues kind of guy, I liked that he was like, oh, mom.
Like an emo teenager. Oh, God, mom. Ugh.
Right. That was still Ted Lasso.
When he was wearing his backpack and he was following them around, I was like, he looks like a child.
Right. He just doesn't want to be like, come on. I got to go do my job. I'm a coach of a team, mom. Come on.
Get off my back, mom. No, stop eating my peanut butter.
I'm busy telling a journalist that you sang with Bruce Springsteen. Stop telling people that.
That's wrong. I didn't.
You're just lying to journalists. Stop doing that. Anyway, everybody loves Dottie. And Ted does too, but he has his issues with her. And that becomes clear towards the end. In fact, it's like the last 5 to 10 minutes of this episode. And let's revisit that because I'm just really excited that Ted Lasso, the show, Ted Lasso has a storyline about Ted Lasso.
Sure. I knew it was going to come eventually.
Yeah.
But I mean, we, you know what though? Like, yeah, the show is called Ted Lasso. We obviously want a Ted Lasso storyline, but the people that we've met in this show are compelling enough where some of them, you know, their stories are good on their own. That's why I think there's going to be a spinoff to this show.
Yeah, I know. But if you called Game of Thrones, this is a bad example for you because you haven't watched Game of Thrones, but they'll get it. The people out there in the outside. If you called Game of Thrones, if its name was Jon Snow, a lot of times you'd be like, there was not a lot of Jon Snow in that episode. Like, right. And he sort of kind of his
is that a thing that happened?
No, it's called Game of Thrones purposely because it's not just about one character. It's an ensemble cast and it's truly about all of them. Whereas this show is called Ted Lasso, not AMC X. Letters Richmond, dude.
Yeah.
I remember what it is. Anyway.
I think it would be, honestly, I like the show Ted Lasso. I think it fits, but, or the show name Ted Lasso. I think it fits. But I think after three seasons of this, perhaps, you know, AFC Richmond or a wordplay of a soccer and a football team would be like appropriate. Because it did encompass more than just soccer, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, this episode actually had a lot of soccer, which is one of the...
I loved it.
I liked it so much.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was action.
Good.
It was exciting.
Oh,
it
was, Jamie like, Tart. Dude.
Yep, Jamie Tart. Mm. What are your vibes on the Nate and Jade storyline?
Okay, so I actually said this out loud when we were watching it. The whole episode, it felt like Jade was angry that Nate wanted to go back into playing football or go back into coaching football. It seemed like she was being very distant every time that something came up about it.
Did you say that she's mad because he wants to coach football again?
Yeah.
I didn't get that at all.
So when I was watching, I'm like, man, every time like the team shows up, I'm like, she goes away. She's like being a little like rough edge. Every time he said, it's my girlfriend, and she would just disappear. And I'm like,
I like when he looked up to the ceiling, like, did she become Nightcrawler?
Yeah, she on the ceiling. But and then, you know, obviously towards the end of the episode, that became very clear that that's not what she was thinking. She actually just didn't want him to be working there.
No, I think she knew, like, it's a disappointed parent who is like, you have all this potential and you're not doing anything with it. That was something you love. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
And perhaps you've taken too long outside of that for the reason of fear, which get over. And she sort of, you know, tough loves him by getting him fired from the job that he was with her, which made him and her happy, except to the extent of, I think she was just like, go do the thing. You can go do the thing. It's possible. Yeah. You just have to kind of like figure out how to apologize to some people. And his point is not terrible, which is like, I don't know if you know how mean I was to them.
Yeah, I don't think you understand the whole story. But yeah. I mean, with Jade, I still am weary of her. I think obviously she's proven that she does very much care for Nate. But I think it's just me in my, you know, six episodes ago thought process that she was just a bitch and didn't want to.
Wow.
Well, you know, aggressive. That's what I have in the back of my head.
You're crazy.
And but no. she's proven herself multiple times now. And I think I just need to get out of my own head about it.
True. Big she, true.
Yeah, for sure. But that was my thought process. I'm like, why is she being so terrible?
Okay. No, I've never disagreed with you more on anything in the world. And I think I am wary of her 0%. I think her intentions the entire time were good. I think she's a hard ass and that's her vibe.
Oh, yes.
That's what she did. But she did it all out of love.
That is clear now. And as I looked back at the episode, I'm like, yeah, I guess. And it's just maybe that residual, like, I don't want her to be happy.
Jesus. Okay. Do you want Jamie to be happy? Because he's not.
I would love for Jamie to be happy. Well, he's happier now, right? Towards the end of the episode.
Yeah. He going through a crisis of confidence and not talking to his father for such a long period of time. The person who was the cornerstone of all of his motivation, fuck you to my dad, was like it. The reason he did all of what he did.
Right.
And now that his father's out of his life, he doesn't really know what motivates him anymore, as he tells his mother later. later in the episode, like,
mummy,
mummy, it's like I'm impotent in my, and I thought he was gonna say heart, and he was like, soul. You know, yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the little piece at the end, towards the end, where they show his dad clearly in rehab, right?
Sure.
And so even his dad, who was arguably the worst, most disgusting, terrible person of the show that we
meet.
They
redeemed him,
they
too.
They are giving him a redemption, and
everyone,
I'm just like, damn it.
You get a redemption, and you get a redemption, and you! Yeah, this is Oprah Redemption Hour, dude. Everyone gets one.
It makes it. I liked that redemption a lot because we haven't heard from him for a while, and Jamie's clearly saddened to some degree that he's not there, even though he doesn't give a shit about him. But to for us to know that his dad was watching and proud and like actually like was proud of him being a good player for once was brought it around for me, even if Jamie doesn't know that happened.
Yeah, I think it also was it felt very good to me that his mom loved him that much. That's the way that the writers needed to make that character. He could have had a terrible mom.
Oh, yeah.
The way that he was at the beginning of this show as well. He could have just had two bad parents. And so they made a choice to make her an incredibly positive force in his life and ultra loving. They were pretty close.
Yeah, I got the same feeling.
But
she kept calling him her sexy baby.
Sexy baby. Even so, whatever, dude. That's fine. She loves him. I'm happy. What about Roy and Keeley in his room with the Roy Kent poster?
I loved it so much where we got to see, like, you know, 20-year younger Roy Kent with a mullet.
Huge mullet, dude. That guy was popping off in the 90s or whatever.
So
time
good.
In which this was.
But think about that situation. Like, even though they're all fairly famous in the show, if you had brought over someone to your house that was an idol to you and they saw your room with their poster on the wall, like, that is like really interesting, and that's just an interesting perspective to see. Like,
yeah, I think a thing that people forget a lot of times about professional athletes is that the majority of them are like 21 years old.
Yeah,
like,
right.
They're in their low 20s. And think about, when I was 21, I was really sure I was an adult. And now that I'm 30, whatever I am, I don't keep track anymore because I'm gross and old. But now that I'm this age, sure. I was not an adult at 21.
No.
I was far from close. It. I was like getting there to having my own voice and feelings on subjects. But I still was faking it till I made it.
Oh,
I never made it per se.
No, but you know even I mean? at oh, of course. And at 21, though, like, you're an adult by age, sure, but mentally, like you said, you know, making the decisions, having your own voice, but we were still very immature at 21.
Yeah, I mean, I think having kids makes that different, right? Like, were two people who were 21 and had no children. If you have children at 21, you're forced to grow up real fast.
Of course.
Or you can neglect them. That's also an option.
Yes.
And what I thought perhaps happened to Jamie's mom, but nope, she loves him. So that's pretty chill.
And I'm happy that they made her to be very positive and happy and loving. I'm kind of bummed that we didn't get to see more of her throughout the series.
Yeah.
Be kind of that voice in his head.
And her husband was like a cool, I like that he did a Paul Hollywood episode.
He did
his own little thing on it. They did a good job of fleshing out who that is very quickly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then this all leads to the soccer match. Higgs boson has, he's a comedic foil this entire episode again. I liked everything he said. I'm glad that he's around. He's the one who, by the way, I think he's good at his job. He sent those guys to go talk to Nate and ask Nate to come back.
Sure. Yeah. He low key is a savior a bit. And I thought it was really funny when he just wouldn't move during the match because he didn't want to jinx it.
What a choice. What weird. Okay. Yeah. On the internet, he and Van Damme earlier in the season, Ted, but all that's been remedied, especially by this episode.
Yeah.
But Van Damme and Higgs boson was getting a lot of flack for being very bad at their jobs. And they're both good in their jobs in this episode. And especially Van Damme, guy was fucking standing on his head.
Yeah, unbelievable goalie.
MVP and, of the match.
For sure. Should get that game ball. And, you know, I've been watching the past couple episodes with my girlfriend, and she was just like, oh my God, my anxiety is through the roof right now watching the soccer match.
She could never be a goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was just so intense. Like, they did an excellent job portraying the soccer aspect of the show.
Yes, because I bet a soccer game that's not real is really hard to shoot.
Right.
Like, I just think about from... even if you've never made a video on Snapchat in your entire life, like you've never even tried to do any part of filmmaking whatsoever. I know Snapchat is not, the people who make films are like, that's not the same.
I was like, what the fuck are you
But you know what I mean?
About?
Like trying to make content.
Yes. Yeah.
Think about the logistics of making a soccer match look good. Like it's on a camera's on a crane and you have actors who they had the camera pretty close. Like, Jamie Tartu, like Philip Dunster had to do like that, like,
oh, sure.
Do fucking 360 cool shit.
Yeah. And
I
mean,
could not do that.
Combine that with, I mean, there's obviously some CGI going on there, with the stadium and maybe some background people. Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff coming together and it worked so well. The only scene that was a little awkward for me, and I think it's just because it was really, jarring, I think, was when Jamie made that final shot into the goal and they don't show
weird.
His feet.
It didn't look like he kicked hard enough for a goal.
Right. And that disassociated me a little too much from it, but it was fine. It was a little blip in an otherwise really excellent, you know, scene.
Game, yeah. Colin got a score.
Yeah.
Jamie Tart got the second one. They beat them 2-0. They get Man City's actual manager to be in the show.
I love that.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, and they were so giddy at the end.
I know, to actually meet him.
Yeah.
Man City, by the way, doing very well in the real world at the moment.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I forgot about this, and I want to go back a little bit because the shot with Roy Kent and Keeley following Jamie with the moon in the background like scurrying and Roy Kent going slowly.
Yes.
And the huge crane shot that they did there was absolutely beautiful. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was great. And I loved that Keeley was being really like sneaky and like going from car to
with
car and Roy's just freaking
on.
Stone facing. Yeah.
Yeah,
how
the
could
heels
he
just
not
have to be
near
clop, 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 clop.
Yeah.
He definitely did, which is why he jumped them basically.
Yeah, it was great.
Anyway, they win against Manchester City. Nate is watching on a television and then gets fired per his girlfriend and his coke using boss who she blackmails into firing her boyfriend, which is fun.
Oh, just doing cocaine. Casually doing cocaine.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they win. They all promise to have a water with every beer they have because they have one more game.
Yep.
Keeley and Roy join a newly reinvigorated Jamie Tart, who, let's not forget, Ted Lasso, again, good at his job this episode. The the thing he said to Jamie Tart was perfection, and it got him back up. Although he's like, I can't believe my speech is what completely brought you back to life. And I really do like that Jamie Tart was like, it's the very strong painkillers and the adrenaline, actually. So
yeah, it's not you, Ted.
But it was good speech. It was good. My mental's much better now.
Keep doing what you're doing.
I do like that they brought up painkillers in sports because it's an actual problem. Like, there's large portion of the NFL who can't feel their face the entire time because they've played. Like, think about getting in a fight on a Sunday and then on you wake up on Monday and they're like, you have another fight on Thursday.
Yeah, right.
And it's a 60-minute fight and everyone's really big and mean.
Yeah, just do it again.
Do it again.
In 4 days.
And like, I think I'm going to, you know, just if I'm trying not to feel anything, just snort a bunch of Vicodin. And I don't know if that's what Jamie Tart did, but they get like, what's it called? Toradol? It's like shots. They put just shots into your body and you don't feel anything anymore.
Yeah, just get him through the match. Because you can, as soon as he made the goal, they subbed him out and he was done.
Yeah, I don't know the rules. I'm not sure of the rules in the Premier League if Toradol is legal, but if
it could be different.
It could be different, but anyway, so let's get back to the kind of the main storyline, which is nice again for Ted. Because it's his, and yeah. his mother being there. I did find it a little weird that she didn't go to the Manchester City game.
Yeah, I mean, they showed her texting him saying, I really wish I went to the game.
Yeah, but that's a thing somebody texts when they want you to kind of go an extra mile and get them a car. Like, he could have in that moment been like, oh, I'll just call you a car right now. I'll
yeah,
pay
right.
$300 or $400 or whatever it costs for, I don't know how long London is from Manchester in an Uber.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got a good job. You could have just been like, okay, I'm calling him right now. Pack some bags. It's going to be an overnight ride, but you're here. And then she might be like, no, that's too much.
Yeah.
And she already did that this episode. And he was like, no, this is what's happening. And she was like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't actually put too much weight in that fact that she didn't go to the game. I mean, I can't imagine she's an extreme football fan.
No, I mean, they just didn't put her at that game for narrative reasons. They needed a lot of ground to cover with the Nate storyline. And by the way, again, like we said, soccer games are hard to film, and going back and forth between more than like Higgs boson and Rebecca and Keeley is probably just a bit much. And just cut one thing out, make it a little easier on yourself. But Ted comes home. And this is after he says that to Beard that Nate should get a second chance.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I wasn't fully convinced the second chance speech was that much impacted, like, in reality by the video he showed Beard. Like, Nate just hid under a desk for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's not reason enough to be like, that kid deserves a second chance to me.
What a dum-dum.
Right. What is it supposed to be like? He has so much perseverance.
I mean, they needed
sit under a thing. Like,
they needed something to tie Nate into that scenario. Like,
to get
Ted
Beard
was not
in his
just
front
gonna,
door.
Yeah, Ted was not just going to say to Beard, "Hey, you remember what I did for you?" And it would have ruined like the storyline, because the ending where Beard went to Nate's house, excellent. Didn't see that one coming.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, I really liked that.
We had Beard story time.
Yes.
Like, a lot. I don't know. Like, when he was saying all that exposition, it's really an example of saying, not showing.
Sure.
But I'm not sure how you would show. I guess you should have showed it maybe in just different ways before now. But I think that wasn't their idea. Their idea was just like, I'll just exposition dump this whole Beard thing an episode before this is over.
Well, he's been such a mystery.
Did you peg him for meth, though?
A little bit. He's a little wide-eyed.
All right. I don't know. I stole his car, Ted's car, and Ted saying he just borrowed it. That story, I think, was like, okay, that is, I think, meets the level of person I picture my idea of Beard.
Mm.
Stole a loaf of meth with, by the way, wonderful Les Mis joke. Love that joke. But
Is that a Les Mis? I mean, I know they reference Les Mis, but I don't know it enough.
Yes. See, yeah. they're quoting stole a loaf of bread because they previously discussed how the story is very much like Les Mis.
Understood.
So, yeah, Jean-Paul Jean, he has so many issues. Javert, too. They have a lot of issues.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it. I just don't remember it very well.
It's a musical.
No,
it's not. It's complicated, but the musical, though.
It was revolutionary France.
God, the confrontation. Shit slaps.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Nate's coming back is the end of that story.
Yes. Yeah. Which is good. You know what? In the same vein as Beard, have forgiven him. Okay, you can come back to my show.
Sure. Yeah. And then, yes, getting back to Ted. He goes in. Apparently, he's been talking to the therapist more than they've given to the audience. I don't think it was very clear the amount that he claims he's been talking to the therapist character, who hasn't gotten almost any screen time. I think
None.
She was there for... Yeah, no, she was
hardly
there
any.
Once at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First two episodes, but like... Psh.
Yeah, and I don't know if they made it very clear enough that he had been going to therapy all that much. I don't know if it matters. But he says, like, to his mom. Remember last episode when I was like, I thought she was going to start a speech with, you know, your daddy.
Oh, yes.
Didn't do that.
No, it was actually quite the complete opposite.
Yeah, it was just
she didn't talk about it.
It was a forward conversation about their relationship, and it wasn't at all about exactly Ted and his father's relationship. It was just how they both dealt with it and the pain that both of them felt and inflicted was inflicted on Ted because of him being mad at his mom for not taking care of herself and saying the words fuck you over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Did you think
Ted never swears? That was very jarring.
Did you think it was overkill at all? I'm not saying I did. I'm just asking.
I think at first I thought it was like, whoa, dude, like you're saying fuck you to your mom. But then as he leaned into it, I'm like, oh, he's proving a point. Like, you know, so no, I don't think it was overdone. I think it was just right. I think if they kept going, maybe, but no, I think it was fine. And then her last little fuck you at the end tied it together.
Sure. Yeah. It feels like a speech that they wrote 100 times and then all looked at each other and were like, I think we're just kind of getting outside the box a little bit. Like, what is he just specifically trying to say? If it was just like the easiest words, the simplest version of his idea, what is that? That should be the speech. I feel like that's what happened. And then that's what came out of it.
Sure. Yeah, I believe that. Absolutely.
And then she, by the way, you know, hits the ball back a little because she says, I also have something to tell you, something you fucking know. Your son misses you. You ran away from him. You dick. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. And then he broke down. Like, Jason Sudeikis is very good at showing like intense emotion when he wants to.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest. And I think it's because I'm watching Succession at the same time.
Oh, yep. Kieran Culkin, I already know.
I literally watched 2 scenes in the shows I'm watching. Well, I guess 3. You could count Yellow Jackets too. But more so like figures who you don't expect to cry this week.
Yeah, for sure. And who are the other ones besides Kieran?
Oh, there was definitely crying in the Yellow Jackets episode this week.
Oh,
but that's different. Yellow Jackets, by the way.
Yo. Bonkers, what the dude. Fuck is going on there?
That show is good.
It is good.
Wild.
I am so upset it's ending.
I know. Oh, gosh.
We have to wait.
I know. That finale is this week, too. I'm
fucking pumped. Oh, yeah, I know. And then we'll do a recap of that one.
For sure. So, he gets that thrown in his face, and he now finally has to 100% face the reality that he is not being a very good father at the moment. So, then goes to the scene with him and Rebecca. She says, this is the time of year where I tell you a truth bomb, but I don't have anything. And he's like, well, I got one for you. And then it cuts. That's not a cliffhanger, because everybody knows what's about to happen.
Yeah. Unless they twist it into something different. I mean, I don't imagine that they would try and mislead us.
This ain't the show to twist it.
No, like, I think it's going to be exactly what we think it is.
Right. I think if it's not exactly what we think it is, it would be weird. Like, this is the kind, like, I think they understand the brand of their show. Like, Succession's a very good example where I don't know what's going to happen in the finale because of how good the writing is. But when it happens, I'll be like, Jesus Christ, that's insane. If that was my reaction to what happens next episode in So Long Farewell, Evita Zen Goodbye, the finale of Ted Lasso, I think it will be worse for wear. Like, just give me the happy ending.
Yeah, this is a show that deserves a different story. Yeah, it's a totally different approach.
Just a pure happy ending. Give me that. Yeah.
I want the happy ending for everyone, including Rebecca, which means that I want Rebecca to end up with Amsterdam, man.
Yeah, she had a fucking look at Sambo Bassanya again this episode. What are you doing to me?
I don't want it. I don't want it either. Ugh.
I think we've said it in the past. I think they're going to have a conversation. Like, I think it's just not right timing. We definitely love each other. I think that's what's coming, but
I don't even want them to waste time on it. Because it's the last episode. Don't even waste time on it.
I wonder how long the next episode is going to be. I can't foresee it being... No, that can't be.
I would give it 90 minutes. I would give IMDb it 90 minutes.
Says... Okay, this is wrong. I was, taken aback. It said 30 minutes. I was like, that cannot be. But it also says Mom City. It was 30 minutes. And that was
not the case. Almost 70.
So, Ted is most likely leaving, going back to the United States. does Beard stay? Who's the actual head coach? Is it Beard staying? Is it Roy Kent? Or is it Nate? Who's each other's assistant? I don't think that's incredibly clear.
Roy said he's good at the things I'm bad at. And that would be running the team, you know? So Roy is a very good assistant coach. Mm-hmm. And it suits his style well. I think Nate being the head coach is not out of the equation there.
No, I don't think so either. If I had to guess, I would say Beard is the head coach. And Ted and Beard have a very emotional conversation. Beard just said he gave me a life and I'm trying to pay him back for that every day that I have with him and just with myself and this life that I've made that would not exist for Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I think they have a conversation where Ted Lasso is like, you have made a good life and I don't need to be a part of it anymore for it to continue being special. You've done this yourself, the work. So
and
you
just stay
here.
Friends.
And and I'll come back, but I have to go be with my boy. And also Beard's in love. So with a person who lives there.
Which is wild. That storyline's still there.
So I think it will be Beard with Nate and Roy as their assistants.
I could see it. Yep.
You know what I just remembered? Because, I don't know, you just said something that reminded me. All of the bar scenes were very good this episode.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
May, a little bit like the wise janitor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I love it. I love that she's everyone goes to her for advice.
She just knows when you need some sage advice.
Sure. Yeah.
And then she pops off every time with one because she's the wise janitor. One of my favorite kinds of characters. The wise
She's really good.
Every show and movie, every piece of should have a wise janitor.
Does it have to be a janitor?
Yes. The trope is wise janitor, Adam. Okay? That cannot be changed.
All right, fair.
Rudy. Hello.
Where he claps at the end, just like stoic. Ugh. So good.
And proud.
Yeah.
God. Love that movie. Anyway, this is a good TV show. I think the finale is going to be good. I think they're going to rip one in a positive fashion next episode.
Yeah. I'm excited to see how it ends, but I'm sad to see it go because I really liked this show a lot. Even at its low points, it was still entertaining to watch. And I'll be sad to see it go.
I don't really care about the Rebecca with Bex and the assistant thing.
I don't, but I'm just curious what they have to say about it because it's clearly about Rupert, right?
I bet. What if they came in and they're like, he's doing great, actually.
He is providing for both of us.
Really has come around. We are sort of in a throuple now and we're really happy.
Oh my, yeah. We actually want you to join.
Yeah. Quadruple. I don't think they're going to say that, Adam.
No. But like,
they're going to be like, Rupert's bad.
I'm with you. I'm with you on it.
It's pretty straightforward what you do.
Yeah. I'm with you on it, though. I don't really care as much. Definitely the lowest care, but I'm just intrigued because it'll wrap up something for sure. I'm sure with Rupert, or maybe, I just need
it over quick because I need her to move into the next part of her storyline, which is straight to Amsterdam.
Yeah, go to Amsterdam, Rebecca.
Come on, make the right decision. Anyway, thank you for joining us here. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. It's $1 a month. You get 4 more hours-ish of bonus content. We do lists over there. It's basically top episodes of TV, top movies, etc. If you like our voices.
It's pretty fun.
They're over there.
they're over there as well. Or if you just want to help support our endeavor in creating wonderful podcast content, you can absolutely do that. But we'd like to thank our patrons.
We say your name too.
Oh yeah, we say your name. So if you donate money, I will add you to this list.
These people pay a dollar.
Yeah, $1 or more, which is wild.
More.
Is Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, James Watch My Dong, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. Thank you again for your subscriptions and your money. Please follow us on the TikToks at the HBOBOIZ. We post clips of the show, stuff that you can listen to on the Patreon to just hopefully get you intrigued with us, and you can comment, share, all that kind of stuff.
If you're on the 35th minute of this podcast.
Yeah.
And you're not intrigued.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. People hate listening to things.
And you're not donating a dollar? Psh, what are you doing?
Oh, no. Oh, I hate podcasts.
Oh.
It's the opposite of hate listening. It's hate talking.
Oh, you hate podcasts. I got you.
I don't hate doing it.
I listen because it sucks.
No, you know what? I've really lost the ball on this one. This thought makes no fucking sense. So I'm bailing.
Okay, bye.
Bye.